September's core PCE index, a key measure of inflation watched closely by the Fed, showed a 0.2% increase, cooling slightly from August. We'll chat more about this with Paul Grunewald, chief economist at S&P Global Ratings. Paul, good to see you this morning here. So inflation, I mean, we've been talking so much. So good morning. We've talked so much lately about hyperinflation, but this report certainly doesn't bear that out.
Yeah, I mean, we never really bought into the hyperinflation story. What we saw and are seeing is that inflation is staying higher for longer than the Fed thought and that we ourselves thought. So it's probably going to take us into, you know, the middle of 2022 until we get the CPI and, you know, the Fed's PCE measure closer to around 2%, which is what they want, where they want it to be. But, you know, if we only focus on those year-on-year numbers, which we all like to look at, there's a big chunk of inflation that happened in the second quarter of this year in April, May, and June. And until that washes out of the data, we're still going to get high readings. But as you just noted, monthly ratings seem to be moderating. So what we call inflation momentum has been slowing, and we continue to forecast that over the next couple of quarters.
Hey, Paul, let's talk about the various inflation inputs, because I think there's this view here that the supply chain shock, right, and its upward pressure it's put on inflation, that at some point, we don't know when, that will abate. What's less clear is what's happening on the wage front and how that's contributing to inflation. And even today, some of the numbers to me were confusing. Maybe you can help us understand them. The personal income report that came in at the same time as PCE showed a 1% drop in personal incomes, but we also got the employment cost index for the third quarter, which showed a greater than estimated 1.3% increase in incomes. Like, what's happening with wages right now? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of compositional effects. We tend to look at the wage cost because that's more of an apples to apples measure. And, that one's been picking up, but let's remember, we're coming off of a decade where wages regularly tracked lower than the consumer basket. So if we think about it in those terms, many workers were getting a real wage cut. So what we're seeing now is, you know, we've got tightness in certain parts of the labor market, particularly in those sectors that were hit hardest by the pandemic, you know, the person-to-person sectors such as, you know, retail and travel and entertainment, et cetera. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. We don't have the wide-based wage pressure that, you know, characterized the 1970s. I think we're all focusing a bit too much on the 1970s. But again, this kind of inflation impulse we talked about a few minutes ago, where we had a big increase in the upstream and then the CPI comes in a bit lower and then wages, that's going to work through the system. But we still think we're on a path where that gradually normalizes over the next couple of quarters. And we should see, you know, more normal looking numbers into the middle of next year. But we still have a couple of quarters to go through where I think the price and the wage data are going to be higher than we thought and, you know, than what the Fed was expecting.
And when we also talk about, you know, are people's wages rising enough to make up for the increase in prices of goods and services, there's also been some examination of lower wage workers versus higher wage workers and how much each of their wages have gone up. What have you seen on that front? And are lower wage workers getting, I mean, we hear a lot of anecdotal stuff. Starbucks, for example, is planning on to raise wages. Is that going to be enough? Are they going to start to catch up with these price increases?
Yeah, as I just said, some of the data on the sectoral level is looking good for the lower wage workers. And you're right, they're the ones who have been taking the biggest hit in terms of real wage decline over the last, you know, decade or so. This is not a COVID event. So, you know, to the extent that's happening, that's good. And the other thing I think that's worth watching, if we step back and take a real macro view, and that's the share of wages in GDP, which used to be around 2/3, and it actually fell below 60%. And now that's starting to tick up a bit. It was ticking up a bit before COVID. So if that's kind of a trend where we get, wages broad and rising in line with prices, consumer prices, maybe even a little bit faster for the folks at the lower end of the income stream, that's a good thing.
Paul, what's your fourth quarter GDP estimate?
We've got sequentially, what do we have? You're going to put me in a box here. I think we've got a little bit of a pickup into Q4. I mean, we just got Q3 and that came in at 2, which is a little bit lower. But we think the fact that COVID has been easing, that supply chains will ease a bit. Mobility is going to tick up. We're looking for a little bit of a bounce in growth in the fourth quarter. For the year as a whole, we've got 5.7. That might be a little bit on the optimistic side. We made that forecast in September, and we're just starting a new forecast round. But in terms of sequential growth, we think 2% in Q3 is probably the low for the COVID recovery. We're expecting things to pick up again into Q4. But again, it's going to be partly supply chains, partly COVID, and partly inflation that will help the confidence, which has been hit. So directionally, I think we're going to be coming up from Q4 from Q3.
Well, I knew you can handle that question even as you were in the hot seat. Paul Grunewald, Chief Economist at S&P Global Ratings. Always good to see you.